This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I guess Alan became so frustrated last night he broke his remote control and he made a big deal about it on the postgame show. I could write a PhD in remote control breaking. There was a time. I actually had the police come up one night. They walked into the building. They said a remote just came flying out the window. Do you have any idea who it might have come from? And the doorman's like, 26B, go check that out. Knocked on my door. And they said, a remote control just hit the ground. Did you throw it out the window? And I didn't lie. As long as it's like, I did, Giants. Just give up a 3rd and 13 and they lost it.
Tell me that's not a Seinfeld episode. Hit like a pedestrian. Rick, they would have died.
I'd be imprisoned right now.
This is DCR.
30 for 30. How the once promising career of Dave Rothenberg went sideways.
Previous button, like a master.
On 98.7 ESPN.
And welcome back. The 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. No Canty today. He's doing Get Up starting at 8. He'll be back with us tomorrow. You know, I hear the retelling of that story of the remotes, and yes, it's funny, and no one was injured, so it doesn't have this horrendous ending. But the thought of how careless, Rick, that was, that I was throwing, and it was like for sport, throwing remote controls out the window in my younger days is very concerning.
Very concerning. Troubling, to say the very least. I mean, you should seek help. I mean, in all honesty, you should seek some kind of counseling.
Yeah, it's not good. But I always remember my roommate. My roommate, it was like old hat for me. He'd be like, "Oh, come on again! I can't change the channel on the TV."
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be your roommate.
Monster.
He wasn't even like, "Look what you've done." I mean, you almost hit someone on the street. How dangerous, in fact, this was. He was just like, "Now I can't, you know, go back and forth from two games."
He enabled you, is what he did.
I don't know that it was enabled.
Something he just dealt with.
Oh, he just threw his hands up. He's like, you know what? This is what I have to deal with. Why should he have to fix me? He's a guy in his early 20s.
I'm not saying he's got to fix you. But maybe if all of a sudden now he takes a stand and says, you do this one more time, you're going to be paying for this apartment by yourself, maybe you change a little bit.
Maybe. I could have dealt with some tough love a little bit more along the way, I think.
Hey, you were pampered. I mean, I saw how your mom treated you at the Dave Rothenberg day. I saw how she treated you.
But that was Dave Rothenberg day.
I know, but I could just tell. You coddled. You were little Dave, the young one, the youngest one.
I'm the baby.
I know how much they love you. Act like a baby. That's the problem.
You think so?
What do you mean, do I think so? You just told the story how you actually, on the 26th floor in New York City, you opened your window and threw a remote control out the window. And by just sheer luck, didn't strike a pedestrian.
Thank God.
Thank God it's right.
But just because I have a moment of immaturity doesn't mean necessarily that I'm a baby.
It's not one moment. I mean, we could spend the next 2 hours talking about moments in your life.
I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I get it. You're right. What do you want me to tell you? I'm immature.
You pushed the treadmill through the window.
Yeah, and I blamed
it on
the cleaning woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you broke your wedding DVD.
I did.
You left the house for a couple days because you were upset your team lost.
True.
I mean, do you want me to stop?
No, I think that's enough.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
Yeah.
Took the treadmill and
like,
I smashed it into
idea?
The window.
Any idea how that happened? I was like, I think the cleaning lady did it, yeah.
No, I didn't even take the blame for it. You blamed the poor cleaning lady.
Well, yeah, of course.
What do you mean, yeah, of course?
Well, I didn't want to get yelled at.
Now, this poor woman probably almost got fired because she broke the window.
I don't think so.
You don't even know.
No, of course I don't know. I know that she was back for weeks after that.
As far as you know, you probably don't even know. You probably, it could have been someone completely different, and you would just be like, oh, that's the same.
Oh, my God. It's an accurate point. It's a fair point. We'll hear from Aaron Boone in just a moment. This Tatis contract, I kind of love what the Padres have done. It's risky, but he's the face of your franchise. You're locked in. $24 million a year for the next 14 seasons. What's your take on this? I kind of like it.
Well, I mean, what's my take on it? You're talking about someone that signed a 15-year contract. I mean, this is, both sides get what they want. Now, the team assumes all the risk because, I mean, God knows. I mean, this guy hasn't even played a 462 games yet, and you're giving him a 14-year deal worth this kind of money. I mean, he gets the financial security that he wants, so he doesn't have to worry about it. And now, I mean, you're talking about not only being the face of the Padres. I mean, he's one of the faces of baseball, period, Dave.
Yes. When you think of young star, like young, because Mike Trout's not a young star anymore. When you think of the young star in Major League Baseball, you think of Tatis, I think of Juan Soto. Am I missing anyone there? Those are the two guys that jump off the page to me.
Acuna.
Acuna, yes, but he's already locked up. How good is that deal, by the way, now, huh?
How good does that deal look? I mean, it looks ridiculous.
What did he get, 8 years at $100 million?
8 years for a hundo, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for this? To just take a, you're already sitting. Take a deep breath and be ready for this. So the Padres infield currently at the moment, it's Machado, Tatis Jr. at short, and you got Hosmer at first.
Hosmer, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to even add Kim. If Kim ends up being their starting second baseman. So without Kim, their infield is worth a total of $784 million.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Machado is one of the top seven highest paid players in baseball also, right?
Yeah.
When did the Padres become so flush with money that they can just go spend it like this?
Just spending it, man. That's the one place. First of all, San Diego was gorgeous. I mean, if you offered back, I would stay in San Diego forever.
It is a great city.
I love going to different ballparks to watch games. That is one I have circled where I would love to go.
I've been there.
It's awesome.
You know what's so cool about it is so the stadium is basically in the heart of the city. So we stayed at the Marriott literally across the street. So we checked in, had lunch, hung out at the hotel for a little bit. I think the kids went swimming, walked across to the ballpark, watched batting practice. We went to a Padres-Cubs game. I think it was Chris Bryant's, like, either his debut or very early on in his career, like first week or two. Watched the game. It's a beautiful ballpark. Game ends at, 10 o'clock. You're back in your hotel 8 minutes later. It is a great experience.
That sounds awesome.
I would love
to do that. That's one of my favorite. Listen, people want to complain about how long baseball games are and everything. When you actually go to the baseball game, that's the last thing that goes through my mind. Is this game's taking too long?
Unless it's interminable. Like if you sat through a 4-hour and 43-minute game, you're like, oh my God. And you know what else hurts? When it's really hot. When it's oppressively hot. Right? But I agree with you. Like 3.5 hours of going to a game if it's 77 degrees is a great way to spend a day.
Yeah, but I think it's dependent on who you're with, too, though. I mean, that group we had at the tailgate, that game could have lasted 6 hours. I was having such a good time. And speaking of hot, I did get mocked at Wrigley Field one time. We were playing in the finals. So when I was playing in Bridgeport, we were playing Chicago in the finals. We had a couple days off in between games. So we bought a bunch of tickets and went to Wrigley. But we only had our suits. And this was...
You went to Wrigley in a suit?
I didn't know. We wouldn't make that mistake. But this is, you're talking about June. Right, and if anyone's been to Wrigley, like if you're sitting in the sun in Wrigley, like it's
hot.
Yeah,
yep.
So we went to Target and bought t-shirts and shorts. So like an idiot, rather than get knowing, okay, we're going to Wrigley, it's probably going to be hot out. Like maybe buy some dark shorts. I bought that darker color of khaki.
Mm-hmm.
That if it gets wet, like you can clearly tell that it's wet.
So you were sweating down in the southern regions.
Yeah, I stood up to get a beer. Like, the guy's coming down with the beers, and he's like, Bud Light. And I stood up, and I was like, yeah, I'll take two Bud Lights. And I start getting mocked by the people I don't even know because I had so much sweat. Like, it was like I went down a water slide. And I was sweating so bad.
That's another great... You know what? If you can walk to the ballpark, it completely changes your experience. And you can do that with Wrigley Field as well.
Yeah, Wrigley, Fenway. I mean, actually, just think about where I went to school. I mean, BU was... I mean, I could walk from my dorm room to Fenway.
How cool is that?
Dude, forget that. I mean, Marathon Monday, when you go to BU, because they come running right by where our dorm is. So I got the baseball game. I think the baseball game starts at 11. So you go watch the baseball game and then the marathon. Oh, it's the best day
and
ever.
And that's when the baseball game starts at like 11 in the morning, right?
Yes.
On Marathon Day?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great day.
That's a case races with your buddies. You get all twisted up that day.
That's a heck of a day. But so would you agree that I mean, and how Acuna's not that young, is he? He's not 22.
No, Acuna's young. Acuna's 23.
Is he that young? Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So yeah, those are the three. Those are the three: Soto, Acuna, Tatis. At least as far as I can think of. Is there anybody else that's that young? How about the White Sox? Do they have anybody of that ilk?
White Sox not the same kind of personality. Luis Robert is really good, but he doesn't have the same kind. He doesn't have the kind of Like, Tatis is, like, he's got that extra, like, he's got what Francisco Lindor has. Like, he's got that magnetic personality. He's got that it. And he likes it, though. He likes the attention. Like, Mike Trout is all set with the attention.
You know, he was a member of the White Sox.
Did you see who they got him for?
Yeah, James Shields.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Because he was an elite prospect.
And they were just trying to dump Shields' money. The Padres.
Yeah, that's a tremendous win. I mean, you look at their offseason and compare it to the Mets, you could argue they've had the greatest offseason in the history of baseball with what they've added.
Dave, look at their rotation. They don't even have Clevinger in the rotation this year. He had Tommy John.
But you added, I mean, I don't think best pitcher in baseball, but one of the elite pitchers in baseball, and you lock up one of the great young players in all of baseball, and you solidified your bullpen, and you added more starting pitching. I mean, the Padres have had, it feels to me like the Padres have had the offseason that the Mets fans were hoping the Mets were going to have.
Yeah, that's what we expected. I mean, that's the offseason we expected. Here's the other thing to take into account, though, if you're a Mets fan. I mean, is Lindor going to get a huge, huge contract?
Well, now, he was going to anyway, and now you know he's going to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the only reason. I mean, you traded for him because you're going to sign him to a long-term deal. And then Conforto's going to get a deal, you'd imagine. And then you have to make a decision on Syndergaard. I mean, the Mets rotation could, I mean, if Syndergaard comes back, and I think he'll be back earlier than people realize, and is good, and you add Taiwan Walker, I mean, their rotation now all of a sudden is,
well, now it becomes
scary.
I mean, you argue about the best rotation in baseball. If you go DeGrom, and I'm not going in order, okay, but you go DeGrom, obviously he's going to be your one, and then however you want to go with it, Carrasco, Stroman, Syndergaard, right? You still have Lucchese. All of a sudden, that rotation becomes, you know, if you add Odorizzi or Taiwan Walker had a really good season last year.
Really good season. But, you know, and you're asking him to be your fourth or fifth starter? There wouldn't be no argument. I don't think there's an argument. I mean, that becomes the best rotation in baseball.
Yeah, from top to bottom, right? It may not be as top heavy as, say, the Nationals, but yeah, I think that becomes probably the best rotation from top to bottom in all of baseball. All right, Mets manager Luis Rojas has to say yesterday, and of course they kind of met the media and they get started today down in Port St. Lucie. They have work to do before they get where they want to be.
We know that this task is not going to be easy. I mean, we can talk about, you know, we're a contender. We can talk about World Series. We can talk about, but we need to do stuff. Knowing that or saying that is not doing that. And, you know, we need to go through a process, and we know it's going to be tough. You know, we're against a tough division, the rest of the teams in the league. So that's what we got to do. We got to prepare every day and sync our team, combine our team.
We talked about it yesterday with Aaron Boone and the pressure on him. And I think there is, and Cashman as well. We don't really know if we like Luis Rojas or not. This is an important season for him. I think he's got to prove himself this year with the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets have to do stuff, Dave. You got to about the process and doing stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be under some pressure just because this is not, I mean, it's new ownership. They didn't hire Luis Rojas. So I think this is going to be like, we know him. Like, Sandy's familiar with him because he's been in the organization.
Right.
Let's give him a chance, and we'll see how he does this season. With high expectations, I'm sitting here watching. I'm watching ESPN now, and it's, I mean, the Mets have some of the shortest odds in Vegas to win the World Series.
What are they, 10-1?
Plus 1,000.
Yeah, you see, the Dodgers are 3.5-1 to win.
Huh. I mean, how can you not look at the Dodgers right now and say that? I mean, that they're loaded.
But the Yankees are two. I mean, the expectation is that the Yankees are going to go to the World Series.
Well, because offensively, I mean, they're as good as it. I mean, they have one of the best lineups in baseball when everyone's right.
Absolutely, they do.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Intense disagreement movie-wise that one RJ Santillo and I had yesterday after the show. So much so, Rick, that because I am the diligent worker that, in fact, I am here for ESPN, I went back and committed 90 minutes of my time to confirming what I believed prior to my initial thought.
So you did the work. You put in the work.
I put the work in, and it has been hammered home. I completely concur with what I originally thought. Now, tweet comes in. I think this is a fair tweet, but I would say no, and I want your take on it. Alexis Rivera tweets in, what about Gleyber Torres in that list of the young, great player? And maybe it's me. I don't put Torres at that level. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't. He's 24, still a young guy. I don't put him at the Soto, Tatis, Acuna level. I think he's just one level behind.
No, he's a great player. I mean, coming off of, I mean, he did not have a good year at all last year. I know it was only 60 games, but he came into the second camp out of shape. I mean, Brian Cashman said as much. He's not a good defensive shortstop. I mean, he's really good. I just don't want, I would separate them more because I don't think that Gleyber Torres has the same kind of flashy personality that Soto or Tatis Jr. have. I would even put, I mean, Javi Baez is like that for me. I love watching Javi
Baez.
Yeah,
he is. But how old is he? He can't be, he's not that young, is he?
No, he's not that young. I mean, he'll be a free agent after this season. But I just mean as far as players, like, I will turn the TV on to watch Tatis Jr. play, to watch Soto play. Unfortunately, I have to watch Soto play against my Mets too much.
He's great, though. He is a great player.
Yeah, he's awesome. But, I mean, you're not seeing Gleyber Torres in any... I mean, I turn on the TV, I'm seeing Tatis in commercials. I don't see Gleyber Torres in any commercials.
And listen, if I turn the TV on to watch the Yankees, and the sad thing about baseball is I don't know that you're turning... You might. I don't know that a lot of people are turning the game on to watch a specific player because you see them so infrequently during the course of the game. But I think a Judge at-bat is more enticing than a Gleyber Torres at-bat, for me at least.
Well, because you're watching to see how far Judge could hit the ball. I get what you're saying. I mean, Judge is more of a freak show than Gleyber Torres is. I just think... As a baseball player, what Gleyber Torres does, hits for power, hits for average. I mean, it's... I like him as a baseball player. I just don't... Like, he is not nearly as flashy as the guys that we're talking about. He's not. Like, he's not going to flip a bat. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what... He's not... I mean, Tatis steals bases. I mean, he's...
Oh, Tatis is... He's... I mean, if you created the perfect player, it could be Fernando Tatis right now.
The only thing that concerns you a little bit is his size at shortstop. He is a bigger shortstop.
He is. And to think that he's going to be playing shortstop for... Well, maybe they'll move him at some point, right?
Well, I mean, but you don't have to worry about that.
Done, maybe they'll move him over to third base.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. I mean, you got Machado signed on a long-term deal, but I mean, the DH too. I mean, the DH is going to, if it's not this year, which it should be,
it'll be next year.
Yes.
100%. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented, of course, as always, by Progressive Insurance. All right, I want to get back to the Knicks calls, and we'll do that in just a moment, but let's wax poetic for a minute on the Knicks. 800-919-3776. Last night stunk. There's no two ways about it. I mean, you thought they would win that game. You thought at least they'd compete in that game. And I think as far as winnable and expectation going into that contest last night's game might have been the worst so far that we've seen this season. That was awful.
Second half was atrocious. I mean, it was. First half was good. I mean, Julius Randle did what he's done, and he was great early in that game. But, I mean, the advantage the Knicks have had has been their bench. And it's been when they bring in Derrick Rose and Emmanuel quickly, now all of a sudden, I mean, the chemistry those two have, they've been able to exploit that. And last night, those two were offensively horrendous. They
were awful. What, they combined 2 for 22 last night?
Dave, quickly made one shot. It was a dunk. That was it.
That's it. That's it. Obviously he was so bad, but he looked so out of his element. Like he didn't look right, and that's okay. That's all right. It's not the end of the world. It's one game. Now, if you follow that up with another bad game, now maybe you start to have some concerns. But it's okay. Last night does not horrify me.
No, me either. It was a big game. I'm just speaking as a former player. Like, you go into that game last night, especially with the San Antonio game being rescheduled. So you don't play till Sunday. You have a chance to get to 500. It's
right.
Orlando
and they
Magic
get days
team.
Off to kind of relish in the fact that you're at 500.
Exactly right. Also knowing that if you do lose this game, and Thibs is your coach, that the next couple practices are going to be awful. Like, they're going to be really tough practices because you don't get much time to practice. This is a rarity to have this many days off in between a game. So this is, I mean, the best part of playing in the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball is that you're usually playing in the NBA and NHL every other day, right? So you have a bad game like this, all of a sudden, you know, you show up, you're not going to have a tough practice because you can't afford to have a tough practice because you're playing the next day, and then you're right back at it. And you can make up for it. Now you got to sit with this one and wear it for a couple days.
Yeah, no, it's not good. Doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth. Let's get to the next calls. 800-919-3776. Don in Mount Vernon. Donnie, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
I wanted to get back to the point where you guys were discussing that Julius Randle isn't an MVP candidate. I agree with that totally. But don't you guys think if the award was actually given to someone who was like the most valuable on the team as opposed to like best player on the best team, it would kind of encourage team players to actually stay with teams that are like kind of bad because they know there's some reward in like elevating a terrible team.
I get what you're saying, but that's not the reality of the award. And the reality of the award is ends up being the best player on one of the best teams.
If that
was the case, Chris Paul should be in that mix for what he's been able to do in Phoenix.
Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I mean, he's made an instant impact. But, you know right now the names you're hearing. I mean, it's LeBron, which, and he'll benefit from not having AD as far as
and he's
going to
win it. Unless he gets hurt, LeBron is going to win the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron will be, I mean, you would expect LeBron. I mean, what's going on right now in Philadelphia with Embiid? Curry's been talked about. So, I mean,
Jokic is a guy that's deserving of consideration.
Dude, have you seen what Utah's been doing, man?
They won again.
But they're not just winning.
No, they win by 20 points every game. But I got to tell you this. They could go undefeated the rest of the regular season. And I would never pick them to win the NBA championship.
I know you say that. But go back to the bubble. I mean, what it took for Denver to beat them. I mean,
Denver's down 3-1 in that series, right?
Jamal Murray played out of his mind, but him and Donovan Mitchell were going back and forth.
You're gonna have to get through two of the three Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, you're talking about a team out where they 19-1 in their last 20.
Yeah, I think they might be 20-1 now in their last 21.
Okay, so and then on top of that, I mean, do you trust? You love Kawhi, right? But do you trust playoff P yet?
No. Okay. Listen, I think it'd be really intriguing. But if the Clippers played the Jazz in a best of seven, I'm going to take the Clippers. I'll root for the Jazz. I don't actually hope to be wrong. I like Utah.
No, I like Utah too, but you said that exact same way. I mean, we were actually doing the morning show when you said it. It was me, you, and Bart. And we had insider after insider. Oh, it's the Clippers. Going to be the Clippers and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. They even said the Clippers are going to be in the NBA Finals over the Lakers.
Everybody thought that.
Everybody.
Everybody thought that.
And they blew it against Denver.
Listen, I could be wrong. I would just, but if you had me rank teams that I think go to the NBA Finals right now from the West, I don't think I have them any better than four.
The way they're playing right now, I would probably put them ahead of Denver at this point.
All right, so you have them three.
I would be freaked. And if I'm a Lakers fan, if I'm Canty, and he won't say this on the air because you know how stoic he is, the Anthony Davis, especially with knowing who his agent is and what happened to Kevin Durant, that would concern me a lot. Because that sounds a lot like what Kevin Durant had.
This Achilles issue?
Well, no, but it's a strained calf and Achilles tendinosis.
Right.
And you saw where he was grabbing. When he left, with the last game he left, he's grabbing like right where the calf meets the Achilles tendon. The last thing he would want is to blow out his Achilles tendon. A nightmare.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because if he goes down, and really just for the postseason, it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the regular season. If he's not healthy for the postseason, they're not. I don't think they're going to the NBA Finals, nonetheless winning a championship. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, David, Ricardo. Really quick, I called you guys right before the Knicks season started, and you guys and Chris as well laughed me off the air when I said the Knicks can compete for a 7-10 seed. So I just want a quick apology, if that's possible, and a really quick Knicks point.
But sorry, Colin. I'm not afraid. I'm not too big a fan to say I'm sorry. Is it too late to apologize? Never too late.
I mean, obviously, I didn't predict Julius Randle. No one predicted Julius Randle to have such a phenomenal season. I thought it was going to be a little bit more Obi Toppin and Alex Burke would be more consistent.
Can you apologize for the Obi Toppin take?
Yeah. Can we hear the music again now? Colin, we would like you to apologize for your take on Obi Toppin. Please apologize.
I didn't say it out loud, though. I'm saying that
you
now.
You thought it.
You can look back at the airway. I didn't say that. All your points are etched in stone.
Yeah, you're keeping receipts now. I see how it is.
Yeah. Well, you could go back to – I listen to the podcast every day because I don't have the opportunity to listen to the morning. I listen to the podcast during Bart and Han. So – but really quick, my next point is I still see them, after this bad loss, I still see them as a 27-30 win team. They're going to finish under 500. A lot of people are extremely hyped and excited about what they've done recently, but they're still about where they're at right now. They're still going to have those games where they're not going to be able to shoot, and they're going to drop 80, 90 points.
Yeah, absolutely,
like,
they will.
Temper their expectations.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Thanks for the call, Cullum. They're more than a 26 win team, though. They should be. I mean, what are they, 13-15 now?
Yeah.
No, is that right? 14-16.
14-16.
14-16. They should win more than 26 games.
I would say
30-ish in that range. 30-33 is realistic now.
Cullum's playoff take sounds a lot like the AFC is loaded take from you.
It was a hell of a take.
Just going to throw this against the wall and hope it sticks.
Yeah, but he had no basis. His is more preposterous. He had, like, no one saw the Knicks as a remotely competitive team.
You know what the best would be? This is like when, like, the new math that the kids have, like when you know the answer, but now you have to show how you got to the answer
and
what
and
a mess that is.
You can't show it.
So he's like, I told you the Knicks would be a playoff team, and then all of a sudden he shows us the work. Well, Obi Toppin is going to be.
Right, Obi Toppin is going to be terrific. Well, Obi Toppin has been anything but terrific.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
All right, you ready for the disagreement? Strong disagreement that one RJ Santillo, the producer of this show, and I had yesterday. And I sat down and I did my homework. So I don't know how, I guess it's the 25th anniversary of Happy Gilmore. And RJ said, what a great movie. He loves that movie. And then he went on to say this, and this really upset me. He said he believes that Happy Gilmore is a far superior movie, and he enjoys it much greater than Caddyshack. And that upset me to no end. So, Rick, because I am such a cinephile, I sat yesterday after my nap and watched Happy Gilmore. And actually, as I watched it, became enraged with RJ that he could utter words that this is a far superior and more enjoyable film than Caddyshack.
I see what you're doing now. You're trying to branch out. So what you're trying to do is now replace. Now all of a sudden you're adding Ann Virk, where you're going to be a cinephile. Now I get what you're doing.
I'm big movie guy.
Yeah, I mean, seize the opportunity. Here's what I'll say. I think RJ's younger than us. I mean, I'm younger than you, and RJ, how much younger are
you? He's a baby.
Me?
He's like 28.
Yeah, I am 8 years younger than you.
Okay, so I can understand his take. I mean, Happy Gilmore is awesome.
I'm not denying that Happy Gilmore is an excellent, enjoyable film with good cast of characters all littered along. Like, you get Ben Stiller is good in that. A lot of really good characters. But Caddyshack?
Is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I mean, Caddyshack goes down as one of the great movies that you've ever seen.
I could watch Caddyshack every single day. I like it that
so,
much.
So I know that you love RJ, and I know that you probably don't want to disagree with him, but I will ask you, better movie, Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore?
For me, it's Caddyshack.
Yes.
But I can understand. But here's why I'll defend RJ.
So you think this is a generational thing?
Well, but it's also it's just your particular taste. Like, he prefers that kind of, maybe he prefers that kind of comedy as opposed to the comedy you get in Caddyshack.
So he prefers to a lesser brand of comedy than a higher brand of comedy.
Yeah, maybe more like in your face funny, as opposed to, I mean, and knowing some of the stuff too, like watching, have you seen like the in-depth stuff as far as how they made Caddyshack?
Oh, great.
And how much of that was just like off the cuff going back and forth?
I mean, Bill Murray was unbelievable. Well, it was amazing. I mean, Chevy Chase, you get Rodney Dangerfield. And listen, Happy Gilmore has big stars. You know what I noticed in Happy Gilmore as I was watching the 90-minute viewing of it yesterday? Is that the grandmother... And I think you'll appreciate this. The grandmother in Happy Gilmore is the same woman that played the marble rye lady in Seinfeld, that Jerry rips away that marble rye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Same woman.
They're both great movies. Listen, they're both great movies. I would watch either one of those movies any day of the week.
I think it's generational. I think if you're 35 or older, you choose Caddyshack. And if you're under 35, you choose Happy Gilmore.
Dave, I told you, when I got put on waivers and I went back down to Bridgeport, we were taking a bus trip. And I said, okay, who's in charge of the movies? Let's get something going. And they're like, oh, we don't really have anyone in charge of movies. I was like, all right, I'll get movies. I mean, have you guys seen Coming to America yet? And they're like, what's Coming to America?
Oh,
like,
but that's disgraceful. That That's like you should be imprisoned. If you're you haven't seen Coming to America, you have not done your job as a human being. And the parents have failed you there also.
How good was Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack? Let's
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my arm is broken.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So what? So let's dance.
Rodney Dangerfield is great. The judge is great. I mean, you got Chevy Chase. What's the one movie? And I can't even think of it off the top of my head. The one movie that you should have seen and you're embarrassed to admit that you haven't seen, though.
One movie that I haven't seen. You know how much I love movies. I mean, I can't even think of a movie that I haven't really seen because my father-in-law's got his guy that gets him the movie. So we pretty much, I mean, we watch a movie. When I'm down in Florida, we watch a movie a night.
Love movies. But there's got to be like I'm sure if we went over the 50 greatest movies of all time, there would be a couple that you'd be like, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah, but maybe intentionally, though. Like, there could be some movies that I intentionally just haven't seen. But, I mean, as far as, I mean, the classic ones that you feel like you're obligated to see.
Have you seen Casablanca?
No, see, that's one of those ones I really could care less to see.
But it's considered one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, but I just told you that. By choice, there's movies that I probably, that you would say I should see that I really have no interest in seeing. But I mean, like the ones that like I've seen all the Godfathers. I mean, you name movies like that, or sports comedies, or comedies in general. I'm like, yeah, I'm into making sure I've seen all of those.
All right.
It's a good conversation to talk. I love. I mean, having
movies are the best.
Those are great conversations.
The best, the absolute best. All right. So I disagree. Now, RJ, quickly before we get to the Steelers conversation, you stand by this, right? You think Happy Gilmore, better movie than Caddyshack?
Yeah, I'm going to say I enjoy both of them. I want that disclaimer out there. But yeah, if they're both on at the same time, Happy Gilmore. Not even thinking twice about it, honestly.
Oh, he loves Adam Sandler. Obviously, he loves Adam Sandler.
That's my guy.
But who doesn't love Adam Sandler? He's
apparently
universally
you.
Beloved.
Not by you.
That's not true.
Where else are you getting that?
Hockey tryouts are 364 days away.
What's the movie where he's the Jets fan, where he like gets the kid?
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Another great movie.
I love that movie.
The kid names himself Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You're mad at your dad, not at me. I forgive you.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
How many we put Rob Schneider in the sleeper?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now that RJ's saying it, I'm
stop
going through
it.
My head with
you
some of the...
One of those Happy Meals? You got a Happy Meal? Can we get a Happy Meal?
Well, somebody get the kid a Happy Meal!
He's great. Adam Sandler's underrated. He's a better actor than he gets credit for.
No, he's like, when he... Like, I mean, Spanglish, he was good in Spanglish. Like, when he has to play a serious character, he's good too. But, I mean, some of the... I'm just thinking about even... what did I watch the other day? I watched Grown Ups. You know what the best part of Adam Sandler is? Like, there's times during a movie when you can clearly tell that he's having a hard time not laughing at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to just break down and start. Like, I don't know how they even film a movie. Like, could you imagine being on the set of Grown Ups? How do you even film one of those movies?
Oh, with him and Kevin James?
Yeah, but he's got all his buddies are in the movie. Chris Rock's in that movie.
And Michael Caine, also one of the great comedy geniuses of our era.
I also watched, what was the one with, what's the one with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston called? That was just on TV.
Where he's that's not the one where they go like on it's like a murder mystery one?
No, not that one. The one where he's a plastic surgeon, I think, and she works for him.
Oh, I love that one. And what's
Brooklyn Decker's
Andy Roddick's wife is in that one.
Yeah, Brooklyn Decker's in it.
Yeah. They go to Hawaii.
Just go with it. And it's got a happy ending because he falls in love. Then all of a sudden he falls in love with Jennifer. I love movies like
that. There's a terrific bikini scene in that movie, by the way.
That was like the James Bond scene where she comes walking out of the ocean. Yeah,
a terrific bikini scene. All right. By the way, the poll is up. This is why these guys are so good. Because I was thinking as we were having this conversation, I wonder if we should put a poll up. And at DCR and ESPN, the poll is up. Which movie do you prefer, Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore? I have no doubt that Happy Gilmore will win convincingly because the younger listener will appreciate that more. And right now, 46 votes in, 74% Happy Gilmore.
It's a different kind of comedy, though, too. I mean, Adam Sandler comedies are a little bit, I mean, those are like kind of like, you know exactly what you're getting when you sit down.
Yeah, you don't have to give a lot of thought to the Adam Sandler comedy. It's funny, it's quick, it's dumb, but it's good. He's great.
The Dangerfield lines in Caddyshack. This is like when you do back at boys, kind of like, well, this is how, this is, now I know why tigers eat their young. give me five of these, six of these, some of these naked lady tea. Like, his lines in that movie are
absolutely
awesome.
Genius. Absolutely genius. All right, let's turn our attention to the Steelers, 800-919-3776. This is weird, because Ben has already come out and said he wants to play there regardless, doesn't matter about the money, he'll do whatever it takes. And then the GM of the Steelers yesterday, Kevin Colbert, came out and said, yeah, Ben's our quarterback for today.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ben's our quarterback as long as he's going to take half of the $41 million that we owe him.
Right, wait, but he can't get paid $41 million.
No, he can't, but that's the contract he signed. So, I mean, now, here's the one thing about the whole Ben Roethlisberger situation that I'd be interested to really know is everyone was, I mean, they started off 11-0, right? And everyone's like, ah, they're a fraudulent 11-0, which is fine. I mean, I understand what they were saying.
And you know what? They were.
No, they were, but let's also remember, too, the guy came off reconstructive elbow surgery on his throwing elbow. And he's not a young guy. Like, what did you expect to have happen as the season progressed? Was he going to get better or worse?
No, I don't have an issue with that. And I think they had a good year. I mean, they made the playoffs, right? They didn't the year before when he was out. They made the playoffs. They were a competitive team. They gave you a lot of good moments. And you know, they had a terrible game in the postseason against Cleveland. But I don't think they had a bad year. But it has to be understood that he's got to take a considerable pay cut. Let's take a listen. Here is Kevin Colbert from yesterday discussing Ben Roethlisberger.
As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He met with Art Rooney. He met with Coach Tomlin. He met with myself shortly after the season ended. He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. We told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. You know, Art Rooney addressed that with Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we're not negotiating as we sit here and answer this question. Hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben. And hopefully he'll be able to see that and feel the same way we do. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done, not only with Ben, but just with the whole unrestricted free agent class and our whole cap situation as well.
I got to tell you, if I'm a quarterback in this league and I hear my GM or my head coach say that I'm the quarterback for today, I'm going to start looking for other jobs, because that could be the kiss of death.
Well, it's not the first time you've heard it, right?
No, you heard it with Jared Goff also.
Exactly right. I think different situation, though. I mean, this is the same GM, too, that was on record a couple of years ago saying that Ben Roethlisberger is the only adult in that locker room. So, I mean, you know how much the GM and Art Rooney love Ben Roethlisberger and how they would like the relationship to end on good terms. Because it didn't end. I mean, Terry Bradshaw still doesn't have a really good relationship with the Steelers.
Nope.
At all. So I think this is I just don't understand why. Like, all you do is leave the door open now for just speculation and conversation. Like, you could have just, you know, Ben's going to be our quarterback. We'll figure out the money. Like, I mean, it could have been that simple.
Yeah, I don't know why guys say stuff like this. I mean, because you know what the truth is, Rick? We're not discussing this today if Kevin Colbert doesn't come out and say this yesterday.
No, but it's almost like he's trying to gain the leverage now where, I mean, just making it clear that if, you know, don't be surprised if we move away from Ben or Ben's forced to retire because we couldn't get the money right.
But you created the storyline. Like, if you're the Steelers, we know what he's making. We know there's no way he can make $41 million this coming season. We already know that. That's known factual before we even start the discussion. By you making this a issue yesterday, you've now created the discussion and the storyline moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, now that listen, how much do you want to be a Steeler? How much do you want to continue your career? How much do you want to end your career here as the Steelers? That's really what he's asking. That's the question he's asking right now from Ben. Like, how much less are you willing to take to stay here?
He said, I don't care. Now, whether you believe it or not, fine. But he's come out and done the right thing. He said, I don't care about the money. I just want to finish my career with Pittsburgh. That's what he said.
No, I know that's what he said. And that's why I don't understand why it was necessary to do what he just did.
I completely, completely agree with you. All right, real quickly before we get to observations, in just a moment, Brooke Pryor, our NFL insider here at ESPN for the Pittsburgh Steelers on NFL Live yesterday, had this to say about Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh.
That $41.2 million cap hit is just untenable. If he retires or is cut, that cap charge gets cut in half, and Colbert is looking at the overall health of the organization and the kind of team they can field around Ben Roethlisberger. That is a major consideration as they negotiate his future, looking at what they could possibly afford with Ben or without Ben.
Yeah, listen, we all know he's not making $41 million next year. He will not be a member of the Steelers making that kind of money. There's no doubt about it. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. All right. Also, with Indeed, there's no waiting for real results. Indeed helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver great candidates who fit your job description immediately. With Indeed Instant Match, 80% of employers get quality candidates right when they sponsor their job. So it's no wonder Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Claim your $75 credit towards your first upgraded post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Without any further ado, it is now time for Nobservations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. Another genius point by you.
And these are his Nobservations. We could have called it Rick's Observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Nob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, David. A little Thursday edition of Nobservations. I will just say this quickly with the Ben Roethlisberger situation, just an observation on that situation. This feels like one of those behind closed doors, like, okay, with owner, GM, you know, here's what we'll do financially for this season. I want to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then how do we make up on the back end when I do retire up for some of this money I'm giving up now? You know what I mean? Like, this is like one of those, like, once I'm done, like...
Yeah, then you take care of me in some way.
Like some kind of role with the Steelers.
Yeah. I'm you know, former player liaison at $11 million a year.
But what's their better option? That's the thing I don't understand. Like, what would their better option be? I mean, this is a team with that defense that feels like they have a chance to compete for a championship. But is there a better option?
No, probably not. I don't want to hear, by the way, at the end of Nobservations, I didn't leave you time when you're still spending time on this Roethlisberger.
Well, you stimulated me. You stimulated me. Well, this is the whole point of the show.
The conversation can get very titillating. I understand.
All right, we'll start with this. So I know you love tennis, Dave. Djokovic is a beast, by the way. Beast.
He just hammered his way to another finals.
One of our favorites, Serena Williams. Got, I mean, how would you want to describe the loss to Naomi Osaka?
She got hammered by Naomi Osaka, to be fair.
Thoroughly dominated. Well, Osaka doesn't lose in these spots.
She's amazing.
She's that good. But it was pretty emotional for Serena after the match. She was actually asked if this was going to be her last appearance at the Australian Open, and this is what she had to say.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. So
the unforced errors through the match. Considering how well you've played to get to this stage, what do you feel caused that? Or was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
I mean, you saw how emotional. You could hear how emotional she was.
Yeah, kind of heartbreaking to hear her kind of lose it there.
Well, but it doesn't have to be the realization. I mean, she's at 23 now, and she's been so dominant. And now you're going up against someone that's way younger than you are.
And on top of it, now.
Well, yeah, but on top of it, I mean, physically, she's as... Like, she's, at this point, you're equal. Like, probably, she's better than you now. So, I mean, is there a real chance that now... I mean... How many more majors do you think Serena's going to win now?
I don't know that she wins any more majors, to be honest with you.
But you're talking about one of the most dominant athletes that we've seen.
She's the best player in the history of... You could argue she's the best player in the history of tennis, to be fair.
Here's another tennis question. When it's all said and done, does Djokovic win more majors than Federer?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel the same way. I hate to say that because I love Federer.
I could say no. Because first of all, Federer's probably done winning majors. And if he has any chance, it's only at Wimbledon at this point. Djokovic is still can win any of the four.
Dude, he tweaked his... I mean, at one point they were talking like he tweaked his ab or his groin. And it's like nothing affects this guy.
No, he's like a machine. He is.
I'm not sure if you heard this story or not. And I kind of, listen, I'm not opposed to this because I understand why you would do it because it does loosen you up. This is Joe Buck talking about how he used to occasionally have a drink to keep himself loose during broadcasts.
And I'll say this. We have had that glass of bourbon in the booth, although it's not bourbon. It's tequila, splash of Grand Marnier, and grapefruit juice. I went through a couple years where in the first inning of every postseason baseball game, I had the runner go get the biggest beer that the stadium sold. And I had it sitting there, and I would sip it from time to time to remind myself to relax and have fun. I'm just doing a game. And I brought that over to football, but because Troy is a man of finer tastes, beer somehow became tequila, Grand Marnier, and grapefruit juice. We haven't done it in a long time now, but it was good for a stretch. And I feel like it's a good mental trigger to just chill and remind yourself that you're not refueling an F-16 in mid-flight. You're doing a sporting event. And if you treat it like anything other than that, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I can understand why you would do it. I'm not opposed to it.
People are the worst. Have you seen the takes? I mean, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are drunk doing the games.
Stop.
They're alcoholics doing the games. Here's all I would ask. Have you ever watched a game that Joe Buck and or Troy Aikman or any of his baseball or whatever that they're doing and thought to yourself, he's compromised because he's inebriated? Have you ever thought that? So who cares then? Really?
And I'll tell you this too, just from personal experience. Like when I used to do 7 to 10s with Alan, we'd go do live shows at bars, and they'd be sponsored by beer companies. So I mean, you have a beer or two while you're doing it. I liked how I sounded way better when I was loosened up like that.
I don't know. The only thing I would say is that from Joe Buck's standpoint, maybe, and I don't even have a problem with this. Maybe you don't have to bring that to the public light and say that because you know the critique that you're going to get. But
probably.
This to me is a non-story. I can believe that people have freaked out over it, but I really can't believe that people have freaked out over it.
All right, couple quick observations quickly before we get to what happened in Florida.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel said this, even if I got an opportunity to go back to the NFL, I don't think I would take it.
He's lying.
He's lying. That's USA Today. It's ridiculous.
No win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
Yeah.
Also, does it concern you that I actually have, through 14 games, I actually have, as a goalie, more points than your first overall pick?
Yeah, it does, to be quite honest with you. I saw that. Somebody tweeted yesterday, and I was like, oh, come on, tell me this is not true.
Yes.
You had 2 points through 14 games. Lafreniere has one. Yeah, I'm really, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on it right now, really concerned about the Rangers. They can't score if Panarin's not in the lineup. Kako, and I know the coach, every time I ask him, he's like, no, he's coming along. He looks good. I'm worried about him. I'm worried about Lafreniere. And I don't think they're very good right now. Yeah, I don't love where the Rangers sit.
All right, there you have it. That is a Thursday edition of Some Observations.
Naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
I was going to be responsible and just take this to break, but apparently we're doing Did It Happen in Florida, which is fine with me. Here we go. David, a convicted felon is wanted for theft after he allegedly stole a diamond engagement ring from his fiance to propose to a second woman after meeting both of them on the same dating website using two fake identities. 48-year-old man is wanted on a felony charge stealing $6,200 worth of jewelry from his girlfriend, including the ring he gave her, which also belonged to this woman's grandmother, to propose to a second woman that lived 30 miles away. Did this happen in Florida?
So, same bracelet, second woman, double engagement.
No, same engagement ring, not bracelet, same engagement ring. He stole the engagement ring.
But didn't he have any forethought to realize that the first woman might have noticed that her engagement ring was now missing?
Well, just that she just got robbed. She didn't realize that he stole it from her to go give it to another woman.
Yeah. Florida. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Florida. That sounds Floridian. 30 miles away, so he took it. He drove to I think he goes from Orlando. He drives 30 miles north. He gives it to the new woman. He claims ignorance. Yes, Florida.
Santee, Florida?
It just sounds like it could happen anywhere, which is
you're trying to do the old bait and switch here. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say not Florida, but I don't feel confident in saying that.
You fell for it. This was obvious. Dave, you're right. This did, in fact, happen in Florida.
Yes,
well
it did.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
Yes, it did.
And there you go. That is a full Zoftic observation slash did it
come
happen
on.
In Florida.
Really?
What?
That's K. That's what he says.
Well, that's why I said it.
You're better than that.
I was actually concerned.
Your own verbiage.
I was actually concerned I wasn't using it properly.
There you go. There's no way when you started speaking that the intent for you was to use the word Zofting.
No, it wasn't. And then I was like, this would be a good time to use it. And I was like, am I saying this wrong?
I'm going
to
put you on the spot, and you're going to probably yell at me for this. Do you have any idea what Zofting means?
Zofting means like a full experience.
Okay, I don't know, honestly. I'll look up the meaning.
How do you not?
Because I don't know. I can't give you a definition of Zoftig. What I can tell you, by the way, is that Patrick Ewing is going to be on with Greeny at 11:30 this morning, and I'm full of emotions with that because he's my favorite Nick of all time, and I'm very upset with the direction of Georgetown right now. So I'm going to listen to that very, very intently.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.